Asia is struggling to control rivalries between the military and the Communist Party. In the middle of the night on September the 30th, six generals are killed by soldiers allegedly sympathetic to the communists and trying to launch a coup. A local military commander immediately steps in.
This is Roland Chellis calling Radio Newsreel from Kuala Lumpur. An announcement by Jakarta Radio said the armed forces under Brigadier General Suharto had smashed the attempted coup d'etat by Lieutenant Colonel Untong of the President's Palace Guard.
Then the backlash against the Communist Party, or PKI, began in earnest, led by the army under General Suharto. Carmel Budiarjo was a British woman married to a high-ranking Indonesian civil servant. She'd made her life in Jakarta and was settled with two children.
The army was just everywhere. My husband at that time was quite close to the man who was the mayor of Jakarta, Ali Sadikin. And Ali Sadikin sent a message to me and he said, it was not PKI, but he was kind of very friendly. And he said, I think you better leave your home and go somewhere else because you're going to be in trouble.
Neither Carmel nor her husband were communists, but they were left-wing. So, taking her friend's advice, the family went to stay with relatives. But the trouble did not die down. Soon after, her husband was arrested and imprisoned, and she lost her job.
One day you are a very well-known figure, respected, with a certain prestige, you've got a good job, was seen as being somebody who's kind of part of the elite, you might say, and my husband was going on trips abroad. And then suddenly, overnight, you become a pariah.
And it wasn't just the authorities who were hostile.
Many, even in my family, my brothers-in-law didn't want to have anything to do. They were afraid. If they were in contact with us, they would be branded as dangerous, as communists and so on. So everything changed and all your relationships, even with your neighbours, you just couldn't have any friendly relationships with people.
Anti-communist feeling had reached fever pitch.
To climax their demonstration, they sacked the Chinese university with a medieval flourish. In a country crying out for education, the books went up in flames. They were by communist authors, it was explained.
There are many military operations, many demonstrations against the left-wing organization in the times, besides burning the buildings. All the people afraid of the military.
Putu Oka, a schoolteacher and journalist, was a member of an artist's guild called LECRA. Days after the attempted coup, it and many other left-leaning organisations were banned and he lost his job.
They stopped all the opportunity for me because if I still come every day to the school, for example, that will make danger for the school.
All across the country, communists were lying low. With newspapers banned and radio stations taken over by the military, it was impossible to know what was going on in the country of more than 100 million people. Despite the fact that her husband had been imprisoned, Carmel had no idea about the extent of the persecution.
I remember sharply there was a friend of mine. He came to the house very soon after these events. And then he said, I'm going to East Java. I'm going there because maybe it's safer there. Because obviously he was a member of one of the trade unions. And then he came back a few days later and he said, it's terrible there. I don't know what. Everybody's being arrested.
What did he say he'd seen?
People being rounded up. He talked about killings and so on. He just said, I couldn't stay there. It was too dangerous for me. But I always remember how he came into the house and he was absolutely shaking and he said, it's terrible what's going on there. And, you know, so many people are being arrested and killed.
Both Carmel and Putu Oka lived in fear of the knock on the door. For the former schoolteacher, it came a full year after the failed coup.
In the afternoon, I went to the cinema with my fiancée and I back to my house around 9 p.m. In the midnight, there is a group of military. They came forced to open the door. And they asked, where is Putu?
And what did they tell you about why you'd been arrested?
Nothing. They just asked me, Are you a member of LECRA? Yes, I'm a member of LECRA. Yeah, they sent me to the prison. We have not allowed to have a book, no paper, no pencil, lacks of food, lacks of medicine, lacks of free to contact with the other. That is torture, complete torture, physically, mentally.
I was taken to an interrogation center, and I spent several weeks in this interrogation center.
Carmel was arrested in 1968.
You had to mention 10 people you knew very well and where they were, who they were. You didn't try to think, are you incriminating people or not incriminating people? And of course, the other women, many of them had been beaten very severely or came back with blood and they had been stripped naked. But that kind of thing didn't actually happen to me.
Women had become particular targets of hatred. In the aftermath of the murder of the generals, newspapers ran reports that the women of the Indonesian women's movement, Gervani, which was allied to the PKI or Communist Party, had sexually violated the bodies of the generals and had gouged their eyes out at a place called Lubang Boya.
In the prison where I was, there were a number of, at that time, still just in their mid or early teens, kids. They were accused also of being in Lubang Buaya and doing the most awful things to the soldiers. Demonising women had a special role in intensifying the hatred towards the PKI.
Ganjar, ganjar, no kedoan, batik lele.
But you didn't have to be a member of Gervani to be arrested. Those who were caught singing this popular song, which was played often at their meetings, were also taken. Such was the army's desire to see all communist sympathisers behind bars. Two years after the attempted coup, this army officer says the operation is still going strong.
As long as there is still one communist in Indonesia, I think we still have a military operation against this one person.
It's still not known how many were killed.
Arctic skies of blue and gray and green. The sun goes down, leaving streaks of yellow in between. And I am bound away, north of Hudson Bay, into a realm where winter winds hold sway. And you are here to view the midnight sun, taste the fruit of tundra where the caribou still run, and Inuit children play west of Baffin Bay and bloom against a tapestry of green and blue and gray. Tonight I put myself to bed with much between us left unsaid, but somehow it's not the way that it should. Night alone I fall asleep with no one here, no one to keep me warm, adrift upon an Arctic sea. A noble clipper breaks the icy tide, safe and sound our passengers are deep asleep inside, and I am on her deck, salt spray on my neck, fighting hard to keep the lonely agony in check. Before long she will welcome in the day. Down below the waterline I'm safely stowed away, asleep within my berth, considering my worth, purpose slowly fading into shades of blue and gray. Tonight I put myself to bed with much between us left unsaid. Somehow it's not the way that it should be. Tonight alone I fall asleep with no one here, no one to keep me warm, adrift upon the Arctic sea. I dream that we were icebergs in the bay, the bulk of which is not revealed on any given day. I'm not allowed to calve off any part into the swell. I fear before the turning home, a colder type of hell.
Sugar. Do you like yours with cream and sugar?